never study the Bible solely or simply for the good of ourselves. We study it so that we are more fit to serve God and serve others.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We must echo clearly in our day and age an undiminished confidence in the absolute accuracy and authenticity and authority of Scripture. Let me suggest for a few moments that we ought to thank God for the unparalleled excellence of His Word. I hope you have a thankful spirit for the rich qualities of God's Word, the authoritative voice of God coming out to us from the pages of Scripture. We ought to thank God for the unparalleled excellence of His Word, and we ought to purpose to live by its precepts and obey what it says. And I want you to notice with me four powerful characteristics of Scripture that seem, in my mind, to emerge from this passage, particularly beginning in verse 15 down through verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are four powerful characteristics of Scripture. Number one, Paul says that the Scripture is sacred in its character, and he refers to the Bible as the Holy Scriptures. There are many evidences of the sacred, unique character of the Bible. For example, in the Bible we find a remarkable unity, despite an amazing diversity or variety. There's a second evidence of its uniqueness, and that is that in the Bible we find a very sensible presentation of the supreme subjects occupying the minds of humanity. There's a third evidence. In the Bible, we find a prophetic preciseness. Finally, in the Bible, we find an unbelievable and indestructible persistence. The Bible persists against the attacks which have faced it. Number one, Paul says very simply, this book is a sacred book. The Scripture is sacred in its character. It's the Holy Scriptures. But then secondly, he says, the Scripture is salvatory in its purpose or in its goal. Do you notice he refers to the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now very quickly, Scripture is sterling in its origin. Do you notice the Bible says in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? There's a comprehensiveness in that expression. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means that the Bible, in all of its parts, Old and New Testament, miraculous and mundane, the exciting Gospels and the records of the genealogies and the Chronicles, Genesis 1 to 11, the creation of the universe and all that's involved in that, the book of Jonah and the miraculous elements there, the miraculous elements of all of Scripture, the Bible in all of its parts, as well as in every single word, comes from God. That's what he's saying. All Scripture, pas graphe, all Scripture comes from God. It means that we cannot pick and choose those parts of the Bible which we think are authoritative and eliminate others. We cannot dissect the Bible. We cannot set ourselves up as judges and set in judgment of the Scriptures. We do not become an authority over the Bible. The Bible becomes an authority over us. God has spoken in the Scriptures, and there remains only one thing for us to do, and that is to bow before God and obey what He says in the Word of God. All Scripture. There's an element of comprehensiveness there. There's also an element of trustworthiness. All Scripture is given by inspiration, and that's what makes it trustworthy. It's sterling in its origin. Literally, the word means God breathed. The Bible was breathed out by God. It's not a book that was written down and then breathed into by God. It isn't that the authors were inspired. The authors were borne along. They were supernaturally superintended by the Holy Spirit. It means that we must trace the origin of the Bible all the way back to the very inner being of God. He breathed it out. Every word of God came from the inner resources of the divine nature. It means that it originated in God's mind and was communicated from God's mouth by God's breath or spirit. It is therefore the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's sterling in its origin. I hope you understand that. I hope you believe it. I hope you're committed to every word of it, the authority of God's Word. Finally, it's serviceable in its function. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. And that word profitable means that it's serviceable. It means that it renders an important service. It means that it is functional, it's useful, it's helpful or beneficial. And we're taught precisely, and I'll just give you the outline now. We're taught precisely the areas in which it is serviceable. It is serviceable for at least three things. One, for creed, doctrine, for doctrine and reproof. It teaches us the truth, that's doctrine, and it refutes the error, that's reproof. There's a negative and a positive pole. It teaches us the truth, that's doctrine, and it refutes the error, that's reproof. It's profitable, it's serviceable for creed. It tells us what to believe. You want to know what to believe? You want to know where the truth lies? The truth is in Jesus Christ, and the truth is in Christ's Word. It's in the Bible. I am the truth, and the Scripture is the truth of God. Thy Word is truth, the Scripture says. John 17 and verse 3. It's profitable for creed. And then, not only for creed, it tells us what to believe, but also for conduct. It tells us how to behave. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is to say, the Scripture is for the reformation of our manners. That's literally what correction means. The reformation of our manners, or restoration of fallen behavior. If we've fallen away from God, we behaved in a wrong way, we are restored through the corrective influence of the Word of God. That's correction. It's for reformation of manners, and it's for discipline. That's what the word instruction means. It's used of child rearing. It's for discipline in right living. That's instruction in righteousness. Paul says, do you want to overcome error? Then you need doctrine and reproof. Do you want to overcome evil? Then you need correction and instruction in righteousness. To overcome error and grow in truth, you need doctrine and reproof. To overcome evil and grow in holiness, you need correction and instruction in righteousness. If you want to have mental conquest, you need doctrine and reproof. If you want to have moral conquest, then you need correction and instruction in righteousness. There's a final purpose rendered by the Scriptures, and that is, it is for completion. It's not only for creed, doctrine, and reproof. It's not only for conduct, correction, and instruction in righteousness, but it's also for completion. Do you notice verse 17? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. To be perfect means to be able to meet all the demands. You say, oh, it's a demanding way of life, this Christian experience. And it is that. It's never been said to be an easy way, but it's a great way. It's a demanding way of life, but you're made complete, you're made fit, you're made able to meet the demands through the Scriptures. Your deepening knowledge of God's Word, your integration of God's Word into your life makes you fit to meet the demands of this life. That's what the word perfect means. It means complete, capable, or proficient. It means able to meet all the demands. It's for our perfection in that sense, and also it makes us thoroughly furnished. Do you notice he says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished? It means fully equipped, and thus able to meet the onslaught of opposition and the challenges of the Christian experience. That's what the word means. And we're perfect and thoroughly furnished unto what? Unto all good works. Which means that our study of the Bible, our integration of saving wisdom and biblical principles into our way of life, our study of the Bible is never to be a selfish thing. We never study the Bible solely or simply for the good of ourselves. We study it so that we are more fit to serve God and serve others. Unto all good works, the truly saved man is the man who is on fire to see others saved. He gives himself to the good works to which Christ has called him. And he's equipped to fulfill those good works through the mighty resources of God's Word, which are committed to him. So what is Paul teaching us? Paul is teaching us something very significant about the Bible. He's taught us in the first half of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the perils and the properties of apostasy. and we live with a growing apostasy in our day and age. And so he tells us how we may be protected against that apostasy. And he says our protection will come from our loyalty to the Word of God and our obedience to it. And he says, just so that you'll know why you ought to be loyal, here are four powerful properties or characteristics of this Word. The Word of God is sacred in its character. It's holy. The Word of God is salvatory in its goal. It's able to give you saving wisdom, which will point you to faith in Jesus Christ and give you the resources you need to live successfully and free from sin and ignorance and frustration in this day and age. It is sterling in its origin. It is God-breathed. All Scripture is theanoustos, God-breathed. And then finally, it's serviceable in its function. It's profitable for creed. It tells us what to believe. It's profitable for conduct. It tells us how to behave. It's profitable for completion. It tells us how to become blameless in the development of our character. Let me ask you, do you have a reverence for God's Word? Do you read it? Have you sought to memorize it? Do you ever meditate upon the Scriptures? Do you seek to obey its precepts? When the Word of God is preached, do you give a reverential ear to the message? Do you open up your heart and your head and say, God, fill them both, and then energize me to obey what I hear, so long as it is faithful to the principles of God's Word? Do you have a reverence for this Holy Scripture? Have you believed in its message? Have you received its Christ and experienced its salvation? The very purpose of the Bible is to make you wise unto salvation, to point you to faith in the Son of God. Have you responded? Do you wish for release from ignorance, from sin, from that deep sense of frustration and emptiness that captivates every man outside of Jesus Christ sooner or later in his life? Then you must believe this message. You must have reverence for this book. You must place your faith in its Christ. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I've already done that. Let me ask you this, Christian. Are you overcoming evil, or is evil overcoming you? Are you overcoming error and evil by growing in truth and holiness? That's why God gave the Bible. It's profitable for that purpose. Doctrine and reproof, correction and instruction in righteousness. Are you so into the Word of God as a Christian that you are becoming able to meet all the demands of life? The Word of God will equip you to do that. That's what that word perfect means in verse 17. And so that you are fully equipped, are you so into the Word of God that you are fully equipped to meet life's onslaught and life's challenges? Or do these things have a way of devastating your Christian experience? It may be that you need to deepen your loyalty to, your commitment to, your involvement in the principles of God's Word.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Every one of us has the God-given privilege and awesome responsibility to proclaim it and disseminate this message on a personal level day by day through our Christian witness.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.